This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And with that, it's exactly midnight here in New York City on Listener Supported. That means that the listeners have got to support it. Non-commercial, which means that we don't have any commercial sponsorship, which means that the listeners have got to support it. If you get my drift, where was I again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM, where it is time for what's coming up next, which is, with any luck at all, this. Hello.
Moorish, Orthodox, Radio, Crusade, Anarchism for the Global City, Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle, Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there. Maybe you were thinking that it didn't matter. Maybe you were
Now, the fiddle tune runs like this.
Welcome aboard to the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade. On listener-supported, non-commercial, use-it-or-lose-it, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. My name is Bill Weinberg, and I'm going to be joined at some point this evening by Max Schmid, who's going to help me pitch the premium for tonight's show, because he produced it. And it's called Conspiracy Theory Crackpottery. And it's a compilation of a whole bunch of crackpot conspiracy theories going all the way back to, the Roswell incident and the UFOs, right on through the Paul is dead hysteria. And actually stop short of the current 9/11 stuff. So it's kind of, but it does have some interviews with some legitimate scholars of conspiracy theory, such as Carl Oglesby, author of The Yankee Cowboy War. But basically, we're trying to make, something of a point here. We're trying to present conspiracy theory in historical and cultural context, and sort of looking at conspiracy theory as a phenomenon, taking the meta approach, as it were, as opposed to pitching a conspiracy theory as the truth with a capital T. And in fact, we are doing this precisely in reaction to the fact that WBAI too frequently in its fundraising marathons is treating conspiracy theory in this rather vulgar snake oil kind of way of, yo, we know the truth with a capital T. And if you want the truth, well, you've got to call this number, 212-209-2950, and pitch over your money, and then you can get our book or our DVD, and you too can know the truth and feel superior to all of the brainwashed rubes out there. Well, we think that this point of view is rather deluded, to say the least. But, I've always been very interested in conspiracy theory as a phenomenon, as it were, and it's something which is worthy of examination as a cultural product. And that's the spirit in which we're producing this, we're offering the Conspiracy Theory Crackpottery DVD. And Max is puttering around with equipment under my feet. What are you up to down there, Max?
Well, some people jack off. I'm jacking in.
What are you jacking into, dare I ask?
Maybe I should. Maybe I should have asked. Into the computer.
Oh, there. I just heard a.
Blink.
I just Did heard a blink. I heard a blink of sorts. Yes, a tone.
Well, what this means is, and shortly, if I can find it. There we go.
All right, so you're fishing around for what kind of crack pottery, Max?
Well, what we didn't have on the computer here already was flying saucer stuff.
Oh, the flying saucer stuff, exactly.
Actually, it's going to start as soon as it loads. Mm. Start. Let me stop that. Whoop. There we go.
Here we go.
Straight out of the 60s.
Whoa.
And let me load up a little Long John Nebel.
I felt like I was being abducted there for a minute.
That me?
Being tractor beamed up into the mothership. Okay, so here we are. So I assume that, is it Reggie who's back there with a volunteer or two ready to take your calls? So you're all going to want to support this radio station and support this radio show in particular. Because I'm, you know, appealing to all of the hardcore fans and listeners of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade out there who appreciate this show precisely because it is a real voice of dissent to even to the dissenters. It's the voice of dissent to the dissenters. It's the ultra dissent, the intransigent dissident show. And, you know, I mean, all of these... There's a certain irony to the 9/11 conspiracy theory scene or milieu, which is that they think that they're the ones, you know, the enlightened minority out there, and everybody else is just, you know, the sheeple or, you know, the brainwashed rubes who have no idea what's going on or just taken in by the conspiracy. And we're the enlightened minority who are, you know, battling against the forces of darkness like on the X-Files or something. And yet they always, you know, are boasting about how the latest polls show that the majority of Americans don't believe the official line about 9/11. And, hey, we've got all of these signatures so that we can get something on the ballot demanding a new investigation in New York State into the 9/11 attacks. So, obviously, you know, the majority of Americans out there, having been, I would argue, brainwashed by shows like the X-Files, really do buy into the conspiracy theories. And us people who are skeptical of the conspiracy theories are the true minority and the true skeptics and the true dissidents, okay? I'm the skeptic. All of you people out there who believe that that the planted explosives brought down the World Trade Center, which is utterly far-fetched theory, you guys aren't skeptics. You're the rubes. I'm the real skeptic because I'm skeptical of your nonsense, which is rapidly approaching, becoming, if it hasn't already become, the majority position in this country. And, you know, it kind of drives me crazy because, well, I mean, we all know that it drives me crazy. But what particularly drives me crazy about it is that it's diverting so much activist energy into, you know, this black hole of just, you know, wasting time, you know, feeling important about yourself and pretending that, you know, you're Mulder on the X-Files instead of actually doing the important activist work, which desperately, desperately needs to be done. So, I mean, did anybody notice what happened on September 11th of this year, just, you know, last week? There was a massacre in Bolivia on September 11th where 16 Campesino supporters of Evo Morales were gunned down by an armed opposition group in the eastern jungles of Bolivia. And this might have been the tipping point in the whole struggle which has been going on in Bolivia because it prompted Evo Morales to finally declare martial law in the province of Pando in the eastern part of the country. And to order the arrest of the governor of Pando Department, who was backing these death squads. Evo sent in the army, but the army really doesn't seem to have too much control. And despite the fact that there is an arrest warrant for the governor, he seems to still be at his post. So it's really not clear who's in control of the east of Bolivia. And an emergency meeting has been called in Chile to deal with the crisis, but Bolivia could well be going over the edge into civil war. And did you happen to catch what happened in Chile on September 11th this year? Well, probably a lot of our listeners will know that Chile had its own September 11th. It had its own 9/11. September 11th, 1973, was the day that Augusto Pinochet took power in his bloody CIA-backed coup d'etat and established a military dictatorship and immediately rounded up around 3,000 supporters of the ousted socialist president Salvador Allende, democratically elected socialist president Salvador Allende, rounded up around 3,000 of them and had them killed. Very eerie coincidence that it was just about the same number that were killed on our 9/11 in 2001. And traditionally, ever since the fall of the Pinochet dictatorship around 20 years ago, the Chilean left has taken to the streets and often mixed it up with the local constabulary. And it really, really got violent this year. And when we tend to think of Chile as being one of the more stable countries in South America, but people were fighting it in the police, fighting in the streets with the police, throwing rocks, Molotov cocktails, and even firearms. People were actually shooting at the police. It was actually like guerrilla warfare in the streets of Santiago on September 11th, 2008. So South America is rapidly, you know, spinning out of control. Chile has just seen a major uprising, probably its biggest since 1973. Bolivia is going over the edge into civil war, it appears, and has expelled the U.S. ambassador. Venezuela and the U.S. also broke off diplomatic relations over the course of the past week. So it looks like South America is really exploding, and possibly just in time for President Palin to send in the Marines. So, you know, not to mention even the candidate who we're rooting for, I suppose, Barack Obama, was the best thing that we can hope for. Like, even he is, you know, basically taking an out of Iraq into Afghanistan position. And just as a certain measure of stability appears to be returning to Iraq, it seems that Afghanistan is once again spinning out of control. And now they're talking, both candidates, both McCain and Obama, are talking about an Afghanistan surge. And I will point out that the so-called stability, which is returning to Iraq, is still a level of violence which would just be unthinkable if it were happening anywhere else in the world. You know, suicide bombing still happening, if not every day, every week now. You know, if one event such as routinely happen in Iraq, you know, on a practically daily basis, if one such event were to happen in New York City or London or any, you know, Western capital, it would be front page news. But when it happens in Iraq, it doesn't hardly even make headlines at all. And in addition to which, to whatever degree stability has been attained, it's largely been because the same Sunni insurgents who were fighting with al-Qaeda a year ago are now fighting for the U.S. because the U.S. has offered more money than al-Qaeda did. So this may be bringing a modicum of stability and has got al-Qaeda in retreat. But certainly the so-called awakening councils are every bit as committed to Sharia law and the whole ultra-fundamentalist agenda as al-Qaeda. So instead of, you know, having these totalitarian Sharia enclaves loyal to al-Qaeda in Anbar province and so on, you've got totalitarian Sharia enclaves loyal to the U.S. And certainly we could imagine that women and ethnic minorities and secular folks are not doing any better under the Awakening Councils than they were under al-Qaeda. So I'm not sure that we could actually consider this to be progress. So, you know, there is really, really critical work which needs to be done right now, really critical activist work in terms of, you know, for starters, cashing out what kind of position we're going to take around the elections, whether we're going to support Obama as the lesser of two evils, but still support him without illusions and be, you know, prepared to resist him and to fight him if we're lucky enough to actually have him as president to fight and to resist, on, the Afghan surge and so on. Or if we should be taking a, you know, a hardcore neither-nor position, an abstentionist position. And in any case, you know, as I've been arguing for the past several years now, you know, building solidarity with the progressive civil resistance in Iraq, the trade unions, the women's organizations, and so on, who are under attack both from the U.S. collaborationist forces as well as the so-called insurgents and al-Qaeda in Iraq and so on. And you know, some, at least there's a certain degree of solidarity work which is going on with Venezuela here in New York City. But I see very, very little solidarity work going on with Bolivia. And it's Bolivia which is really going over the edge into civil war at the moment, it appears. And also, I would argue that the revolutionary model in Bolivia is a more inspiring one than the one in Venezuela. And, you know, I'm not here to bash Hugo Chavez by any means, but, you know, he is a military man, and he did lead a coup d'etat back in, what was it, 1991. And his whole approach has been sort of, you know, a populist, strongman kind of, you know, personality cult, top-down affair. And certainly, you know, when it's Hugo Chavez versus U.S. imperialism, of course I'm rooting for Hugo Chavez. But that doesn't mean that we should hold him above criticism either. Whereas, what's happening in Bolivia, I mean, Evo Morales was not a military man. Evo Morales actually came up through the popular movements and was a leader of indigenous and campesino movements. And the revolution in Bolivia really is much more of a case of people taking power from below and of the popular grassroots indigenous and campesino movements actually achieving state power. So, you know, where's the solidarity work which is going on with Bolivia? Very, very urgent, I would say, especially at this moment. And instead, all I ever hear, I shouldn't say all I ever hear, but far, far, far too much of what I hear over the airwaves of WBAI and from, you know, progressive circles in New York generally is, we need a new investigation about the World Trade Center, and Bush blew up the World Trade Center, and it was an inside job, and there were planted explosives, and there weren't any planes, and what were the secret pods, and blah, 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 blah. And it's, first of all, I don't even want to get into arguing about the minutiae of, because this is, you know, how we get sidetracked from actually doing the real activist work which needs to be done. This is how we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked into talking about the minutiae endlessly. But, so I don't even want to get into the minutiae, but I will just state for the record that I think that, you know, you're completely deluding yourself to the point of, you know, hallucination if you think that there weren't any planes either at the Pentagon or at the World Trade Center. If you think that there were planted explosives in the World Trade Center, if you think that the planes were remotely controlled, or if it was actually missiles that hit the buildings, if you think any of that stuff, you're completely deluding yourself. And I don't even want to get into arguing the minutiae, but I just want to state that on the record, that, you know, it's just absolute delusion. But that's not even the point. The point is that whatever happened, it happened. And now we're living in the world which 9/11 created, and that's the reality that we have to deal with. And yes, we were all traumatized by 9/11, particularly those of us who were in New York City around 9/11. We were all traumatized. But, you know, we can't let this trauma define our lives forever to the point that we're not even going to deal with the actual political reality of the world that we're in, and we just, you know, keep on harping on what happened on this one day 7 years ago. I mean, it's rather, you know, as if in 1941, the French resistance said, wait a minute, drop everything, comrades. The most important thing is to determine who burned down the Reichstag. Well, you know, I mean, they always say that, you know, 9/11 was our Reichstag fire and so on. Except, you know, in the Second World War, the partisans who were fighting fascism in Europe were not particularly obsessed with who burned down the Reichstag. And it really has never been established who burned down the Reichstag. And it doesn't make a lot of difference whether it was a Nazi conspiracy or whether it was a lone nut by the name of Marinus van der Lubbe. From the point of view of history, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. It doesn't make fascism any less evil if it really was a lone nut named Marinus van der Lubbe. And I'm not particularly attached to, you know, the theory either way, right? So, tonight we're going to take a little excursion into conspiracy theory. But once again, from a different point of view, because, you know, we talk plenty on these airwaves about the situation in South America and the situation in Iraq and the situation in Afghanistan and the great game in Central Asia and so on. And but every once in a while, we do take a look at conspiracy theory merely because everybody else is, and we sort of feel that we need to dissent from the way conspiracy theory is being presented. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't view Loose Change and all these other videos, and don't read, you know, The Immaculate Deception and all these other books. Fine, read them. But read them, if you must, you know, with an open mind and with a critical mind and with a skeptical mind, to use the favorite word of the conspiracy theorists out there. Don't read it like, oh, yes, at last, somebody is enlightening me and giving me the straight dope. You know, because there's no such thing as double standard skepticism. If all of your skepticism is reserved for George Bush and you have no skepticism for, you know, Eric Hufschmid and all these other conspiracy snake oil salesmen out there, then you're not a skeptic. You're the opposite of a skeptic. You're a dupe, just like the people for whom the opposite is the case. And they just, you know, go lockstep with the consensus reality view, quote unquote, of 9/11 and dismiss all of the anomalies. And certainly I acknowledge there are a lot of anomalies and unanswered questions about 9/11. The people who just, you know, dismiss all of the anomalies and think that, you know, George Bush and the mainstream media are telling us the truth. Well, to tell you the truth, I don't think there are too many of those people out there. You know, probably very, very few this late in the day, right? But in any event, you know, if you just merely flip that upside down and just assume that all of these conspiracy hucksters like the people who produced Loose Change and all these other videos which are being offered over WBAI, you know, then once again, you're not a skeptic, you're a dupe. So, once again, we're going to be looking at conspiracy theory not in terms of, oh, we've got the straight poop here, which is going to enlighten you, so, you know, buy our product and get enlightened and find out the truth with a capital T, but looking at conspiracy theory as a phenomenon. And, Max, why don't you step over to the microphone? So you can tell us, you're the one who produced this, what, it's a DVD, isn't it actually a DVD?
No, it's actually an MP3 disc.
An MP3.
It's like a CD, just like a CD, but instead of having audio wave files, it's MP3 compressed files. Meaning that on this one disc, you'll get almost 3 hours of the Carl Oglesby and Robert Anton Wilson conspiracy talk from 1988.
All right, now that's one of the more, shall we say, legitimate things which are in this compilation. I mean, okay, Robert
Anton... Well, each is legitimate in its way.
Well, yes, but I mean legitimate in terms of offering an analysis and information that we could get behind as opposed to merely viewing
it actually,
as a phenomenon.
And actually look up, yes. Yes. Things you could actually research and study on your own.
Yes. Now, you know, Robert Anton Wilson is kind of a raconteur and kind of a sort of, he does almost like a stand-up routine, and he's very amusing. Carl Oglesby, whether you agree with his conclusions or not, is a legitimate researcher. And his book, The Yankee Cowboy War, which was about the Galen affair and the assassination of JFK, was sort of a genre-defining book for the whole conspiracy theory milieu. And compared to a lot of stuff which followed it, both about the JFK hit and later about 9/11, compared to a lot of the stuff that followed it, it's actually a very legitimate work.
Okay. And along with piece is comprised of three parts. The first is the straight lecture from Wilson and Oglesby.
This was recorded here in New York back in 1988, was it?
Yes, Don Meinshausen, who was associated with anarchy and free-thinking groups around the town.
Including the Libertarian Book Club / Anarchist Forum.
So he put it together, and you know, did I record it for BAI? It's been so long, I don't remember. It's 20 years ago, but chances are I did. There's a question and answer following, but in between, I even inserted a 1944 radio drama that was originally produced as a war bond fundraising program, but it covers some of the very conspiracies that were taking place contemporaneously in Nazi Germany. So,
right. The amazing thing about it is that this piece of propaganda for the war bond program produced went in 44, did you say?
I believe so.
Yeah.
44, 45.
Yeah, late in the war. Is basically, it's sort of a near future fiction nightmare scenario.
Yes.
Where, like, what happens if the Nazis actually won and turned America into a puppet state and so on?
Because they duped us after World War I, and, right. And we let them off the hook, and we duped them at the end of World War II, and the next time, you know, the
and
Nazis will seize control.
Fast forward from 1944 to 1988, and Carl Oglesby speaking here in New York City, and he basically argues that, in fact, that's exactly what happened with the Galen Affair, is that the Nazis sort of did have a secret coup and sort of took over the military-industrial complex and the intelligence apparatus of the United States behind the scenes.
So as if that isn't enough, that's a mere fraction of what else is on this premium disc. It's actually three separate groups of conspiracies. You get hours and hours and hours of UFO material, largely from radio broadcasts from Long John Nebel in the 1950s, 1958, as well as some compilation LPs and records that were put together featuring some of his greatest guests, names that anyone who studied ufology seriously, as Sidney Smith and myself did in our idle youth, names like Major Donald Kehoe as a guest, Adamski, George Adamski, all kinds of names from the UFO, early days of UFO mythology.
All right, so when was Neville's heyday? When and where did he do all this work?
Well, as I say, most of these recordings are from 1958, which seems to be like a focus point of this UFO. I mean, he went on and did it for years thereafter.
And he was on radio?
He was the overnight guy, 6 or 7 days a week
on
WOR, and then he moved to NBC or somewhere.
Here in New York.
Then his wife, of course, Candy, what's-her-face, the one who claimed to have been hypnotized and brainwashed by the CIA and was like some sort of walking mole.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Vaguely. Yeah.
So she sort of took over the show after Long John died.
That was his wife.
Yes, Candy Jones, wasn't it?
Right, you're right. Yeah, Candy Jones, right.
Now, the third conspiracy, and this is another one you can do a little research on your own, involved a member of the Fab Four.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Originally known as Paul McCartney. However, somewhere in France, he drove off a cliff in his car and was killed. Or was rubbed out by the mob. There are a number of theories on what happened to the original Paul McCartney, but a stand-in, a double, who had won a Paul McCartney look-alike contest, was groomed, had a little plastic surgery to transform himself so that, because the Beatles by this point, 1966, were a massive commercial enterprise and, you know, just lots of businesses depended on their success. So you can't have one of the founding members and songwriters just up and die, so he was replaced. They found someone who sounded like McCartney to do the vocalization on the records.
But this does raise
so
the question.
Theories go.
Yes, how did they find somebody who actually had the songwriting abilities original Paul?
Well, since they weren't touring anymore, it didn't matter if he could perform in public. He just had to look right.
But what about the songwriting?
Well, the songwriting was the musical half of the imposter.
Oh.
I mean, this is all subject to speculation, but the clues are there in the records.
All right, so
all of the clues are pointed out.
The stand-in went on to sing with the Wings and be knighted and everything?
Well, you know, there's a website you can go to where they compare the original Paul's face and features to the, as they call him, false Paul. And they kind of morph from one to the other. There are clues in the Magical Mystery Tour album. But basically, what we have here are two radio programs that lay out portions of the conspiracy. One is actually an hour-long documentary produced by a station called KGB, I believe, somewhere in California. So this one is in the form of a documentary that presents all of the clues and lays it out with the music. The other piece was just something I happened to be listening to in the late 1969 or early 70, I forget the date. But was basically just a broadcast when this conspiracy was sweeping college campuses across the country, and they're actually getting phone calls from, you know, here's the Columbia campus and the NYU campus reporting in, and everyone reporting the clues that they found through studying the records. Backwards things in the songs, which are there. I mean, they're really there. Clues on the cover of Sgt. Pepper, where you hold a mirror up to the drum, and you see there in the reflection it said 1968 he die, or something like that. All of these clues are there, but this is basically just an hour and 20 minutes of a recording I made of this talk going on the radio. And I forget, if you look over here, the title of the piece, you might see the name. I'm trying to remember who the radio host is. He's still
Paul
active.
Paul McCartney Death Rumor Special on KGB in San Francisco.
No, the other Paul McCartney will probably list the name of a radio host, because it's just not in my head at the moment.
Not seeing it.
Well, someone who you would remember if you were listening to radio in the 60s.
It's not Alex Bennett.
Yes, Alex Bennett.
Oh, there we go.
Of course.
69-ish Paul is Dead special.
That's the one.
On WMCA.
And this was just an ongoing radio program. I taped it until I ran out of tape, and it was, you know, it started before I started the tape and was still running afterwards. And he's on his way to London to investigate. So, of course, it was sensational enough for the radio stations to milk it to death. And even today, as I say, there's that great website where you can study all of this, including Lost Words of George Harrison. But here it is, from the original, when it was happening, laid out on two different radio programs. So there's like 2 hours of that stuff. There's a good 10, 12 hours of the Long John Neville UFO material.
I'm sorry, how many hours?
Well, this is highly compressed. Considering the sound quality of the original broadcast, which were on AM radio, I figured if I compress it a little more.
All right, so how many hours is it altogether?
It's like 13, 14, 15 hours of material. You got the 3 hours of the JFK stuff, you got the 2.5 hours of the Beatles stuff, and you've got...
All right, so let's cut to the chase. We're offering this on MP3s. So you have to have an MP3 player in order to be able to...
Well, or computer.
Or any computer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, this can be yours. 13 hours of conspiracy theory crackpottery produced by Max Schmid can be yours for a pledge of $65. You can't beat that for the price. 13 hours for $65. How much? What does that come out to per hour?
Oh, now you want me to do the math? 50 cents? I don't know.
So.
$5?
It's a deal. And, you know, this would be a good exercise, no matter where you stand on conspiracy theory, whether you buy all of the conspiracy theories, which WBAI hawks shamelessly.
Yeah, I figured we'd toss in some real conspiracies, you know. You want nonsense? We got nonsense for you in three other flavors. So if you're already...
The UFO flavor, the Paul is Dead flavor, and so, what, the Nazi flavor?
And the Nazi flavor. So if you've already got Loose Change Volume 1, 2, 3, and the new scientific edition of Loose Change, well, we bring you... three other conspiracies that perhaps have been flew under your radar and had secret flashes on your screen when you weren't looking.
The Nazi conspiracy, there actually is something, too. I mean, Oglesby may overstate it, but, I mean, they really did bring in Galen's apparatus after the war and sort of graft it onto the CIA. I mean, that's all true.
Well, that's true. And, you know, people look up in the sky and see things that, you know, are hard to explain. That happens, too.
Yes.
It's the explanations that are interesting.
Yes. I certainly don't think that... I mean, where I think that Oglesby gets a little bit wrong is he sort of portrays it like, you know, the Nazis secretly took over the United States government, where I think it's more like the United States government made a sleazy deal with Nazis.
And became, or already were,
right.
Quite similar in their philosophies.
Yes, there was already a certain commonality there.
But the important thing is that we offer this to you for your amusement and study, but as a way to induce you to support this radio station. WBAI,
yes.
In dire, you're going to hear this word a lot in the next 3 weeks. We are in dire financial straits. We had a meeting earlier of the Finance Committee to finalize the budget for the year 2009, which begins on October the 1st. And
fiscal year ought nine.
Fiscal year ought nine. And inescapably, WBAI's staff, we have working at WBAI the equivalent of 24 full-time people. And outside of engineers who have to work around the clock, each person has pretty much a unique and distinct job. And we are forced to, by restraints of income from on-air fundraising like we're doing now, to release some six plus one quarter of our staff.
Aye, aye, aye.
And I don't know how we're going to continue.
Okay, well, let me play devil's advocate here, because I'm just going to, like, you know, second guess probably what a lot of people out there are thinking, to sort of give themselves an excuse to let themselves off the hook and not have to actually call 212-209-2950 and pledge $65 for our conspiracy theory crack pottery special. So I'm just going to play devil's advocate and ask Max, well, what's the big deal if we have to let go of six staff members? I mean, aren't you all just feather bedding anyway?
Oh, absolutely. For example,
I mean, aren't you just,
let's,
you know,
say we have no more subscriptions department. Then who would keep track of our membership? Let's say we had no more bookkeeper. Who's going to run the finances? Program director. Who's going to program the radio station?
Keep going.
Engineers. Now, you have learned, sort of, to engineer your own program.
Emphasis on the sort of.
But there are many people who are far too important in the work they bring to the airwaves to learn how to manipulate simple mechanical devices and
buttons and knobs.
Yes. So they need someone to sit there and make sure that their erudition sounds wonderful coming out over the airwaves. So we have to have an engineering staff, not to mention the legal requirements by the FCC that our transmitter is functioning properly and not interfering with other radio stations. So we need a technical staff. We need a repair department. And basically, each department is one individual. Now, the newsroom is 2.5 people, but, you know, they're producing a full half hour every day.
Who's the half?
The half would be, you're going to put me on the spot, Eric Williams, our City Hall reporter, who's only in a couple of days a week because, you know, it's all we can afford to pay for. But they bring you a half hour. Jose Santiago and, Andrea.
Sears.
Andrea Sears. And occasionally they'll get an intern. They occasionally can get a little money, a grant, to hire a stringer.
Okay, now 10 years ago or 20 years ago, there were a lot more people in the news department.
I think there may have been more volunteers. But the thing is that the volunteers, once they're trained by our, you know, wonderful news people, start looking to make some money. So they go off to Free Speech Radio News, for one example, who actually pay their people to report stories, or NPR.
All right, now why can they afford to do so and we can't?
Afford to do?
To pay their reporters?
Well, because BAI, part of our budget, also pays the Free Speech Radio News. We pay for that. It's a package we pay for, as is Democracy Now! It's a contractual program that we add to our airwaves at certain expense. And all of these expenses, the programming that we have to pay for, and even people who come in and volunteer to do programming, we still need to pay for the electricity and the rent for the studios.
I understand we're actually behind in the rent, aren't we?
Apparently that will be cleared up so sometime in the middle of this drive as money comes in. Mm. See, the money we're raising now is paying off our back rent. And I hear we were lucky to make payroll on Monday, on the 15th. So WBAI lives virtually hand to mouth. Not virtually, we are exactly living hand to mouth when we're not way behind. And it's come to the point where enough people in positions of authority think that the station must now start to behave responsibly, not budget hundreds of thousands of dollars a year beyond our means. And in order to stay on budget, we have to cut staff. And it's not like, you know, we have five people in the accounting department, for example. We have one person. You know, every job here at the station, we've got one mail clerk, and we've got a lot of premiums that get sent out. We've got one premiums person. We've got one person who handles a different aspect of WBAI, and how that's going to continue, when, you know, which do we take off the left arm or the right arm?
All right. So in other words, there isn't any feather bedding going on.
No,
here.
Not at all. No frills.
It's entirely a bare bones operation, and we need everybody who we've got. And now we're actually going to be losing six, which means that the people who are left are going to be stretched even more thin.
That's right.
Yes.
So if your premium's a little late, look for it to get later. No. But no. First of all, I would like to say that these premiums are ready to ship.
Yes, they are ready to ship immediately.
All you need to do is call up and pledge for it. 212-209-2950. Let's get less frivolous for a moment.
Yes, we should.
As we talk about life and death issues.
Indeed, emphasize that you should all be calling 212-209-2950 to keep WBAI on the show. On the air, and to show the powers that be around here how much you appreciate this show, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, which is the true dissident show at WBAI. Perhaps not the only one, but it's certainly a true dissident show at BAI. The dissidents to the dissidents. So show us some love, please. 212-209-2950. Reggie and the crew are eagerly standing by to take your call. $65 will get you this 13-hour, 3 MP3... No.
It's one disc.
One MP3.
All fits on one disc.
Right, I'm sorry. Contrary to what is actually written here on the premiums list, it's actually all on one MP3. 13 hours of conspiracy theory crackpottery. Now, very, very shortly, we will be giving you a sample. Should we give him some Paul is Deadery?
Whatever you like.
Or should we give him some UFology?
Well,
or should we give them some...
I wonder if anyone besides me, I guess I'm old enough to remember Long John Neville, but I wonder if the average person even remembers. Long John was originally a huckster. He was one of those guys who sold, like, potato peelers on the boardwalk and somehow ended up on radio. And he knew that a lot of these guests he had on were just talking through their hats. He knew that they were insane or making it up. But he found such an entertainment value in some of it, like Tony the Mystic Barber, who wore an aluminum foil thing in his ear so he could communicate with his friends on Mars and Venus and would relay their messages.
So can you actually hear Tony the Mystic Barber on
He's
the
He's not on this one. We've got...
Don't tease us like that, Max. What a bait and switch.
Actually, some of the nuts, Adamski was pretty much of a nut, and he's on one of the Long John LPs. He's not on the broadcasts. There's a lot of Major Donald Kehoe, who was the guy who originally flew over and coined the term flying saucer when he saw these saucer-shaped discs.
Ooh, really?
Flying
when,
over.
When
yes.
was that? When did he coin the phrase?
God, I think that was like 49-ish.
I would have thought earlier.
Nobody, well, they were sightings earlier, but before they were called flying saucers, in World War II they were called Foo Fighters. They would see lights that would buzz the, you know, the fighter planes, and they called them Foo Fighters. And Gremlins, I think, came from that. You know, the cartoons you see with Daffy Duck and the Gremlins.
I'm sorry, the cartoons you see with Daffy Duck?
Oh, well, I could be off base there.
I'm sorry, I don't remember the cartoons with Daffy Duck and the Gremlins.
Well, I'll have to dig out my World War II propaganda cartoons for you sometime.
I mean, I remember the Martians in Donald Duck.
Yeah, they were, well...
The really menacing Martians in Donald Duck, right?
Yes, the evil.
Right.
So, but they're not part of this premium.
Gremlins and Foo Fighters is what they called them before Colonel Kehoe, was it?
Kehoe.
Mm-hmm. Coined the term flying saucer.
Yes.
All right. So, and we have got him on the MP3.
Yeah, so he's all over the place. He's on several shows.
So this is historically important. He's the one who actually coined the phrase flying saucer, which is a part of our culture today and everything.
You also will hear from Otis T. Carr, who has designed his own circular flying craft that he is willing for $20 million to construct and sell to anyone willing to pay him the $20 million. You'll also hear about the holes in the poles that lead to the center of the Earth.
Yes, of course.
The Darrow, the evil inhabitants of the inner crust of the Earth's core. They also have, even around Manhattan, there are secret elevators that will take you down to their land.
Well, this was actually in the X-Files movie. Remember the X-Files, yeah. The original X-Files movie from back in the 90s?
Absolutely.
There was the whole Antarctica Hollow Earth angle.
Well, there's a lengthy discussion of that on the Long John programs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mothman. You'll hear about Mothman, too.
Now, what was Mothman?
Mothman was a giant robed figure that was surrounded by smoke and a very foul smell. West Virginia, I believe, was Mothman's territory, and it kind of hovered around and chased cars and, you know, had a beak.
It flew.
It flew, yes. It hovered and flew.
Wow.
Sometimes at high speeds and other times just hovered, but it always smelled bad, and there were sightings of other similar things in other parts of the country as well. They just sort of materialized and then dematerialized.
Well, as you can see, this is a true treasure trove of conspiracy theory crackpottery, an entire, you know, broad sweeping cultural overview of the entire conspiracy crackpottery milieu in this country, going all the way back to its very origins in the World War II era. So, and in fact, how it intersects with U.S. government propaganda, because we've actually got some genuine U.S. government propaganda included here as well. So, once again, it can be yours for a pledge of $65, 212-209-2950. I should give the, first of all, before I do that, here's the thing. First, I'm going to identify the music. Then I'm going to go through all of the premiums which we're offering tonight, and then we'll at around 1 o'clock we'll play maybe 15 minutes of the MP3, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's give them some Paul is Deadery. How does that sound?
Well, okay. Or if you want to play some a little short UFO piece, there's something there called Dr. Frank's.
We'll do both.
Okay.
We'll do both.
Little UFO and a little Paul is Dead.
You got it. Okay, so by the way, I forgot to identify the music. Well, we opened up, of course, with the song Conspiracy Theory by Steve Earle, with its references both to the JFK and MLK assassinations. And then I followed that up. Well, it was just a fiddle tune. There weren't any lyrics, but it was the title was Booth Killed Lincoln. So the very first political hit and conspiracy theory in our country's history. And that was from the Library of Congress collection by fiddler by the name of Bascom Lamar Lunsford, recorded in South Turkey Creek, North Carolina. It's probably Mothman country, right?
Very likely.
So,
by the way, speaking of conspiracies, let me just...
please.
People who are attempting to go to the WBAI board meeting tomorrow...
Speaking of conspiracy.
It seems that inadvertently during the board programming earlier, the wrong address was given for the board meeting, which is tomorrow. It's not 483, but 583 Riverside Drive. 583 Riverside Drive at 135th Street. So that information for Monroe and anyone else that we expect to see at the board meeting tomorrow.
So there were sparks flying at the last one, huh?
Oh, there are sparks generally flying, but we also...
But there were physical altercations
No. We're actually trying to open it up so that members of the public and the board can interact. What do they call that?
Nobody was arrested? Nobody was...
No, that was two meetings ago.
Three meetings ago. Dragged away screaming?
Well... I wouldn't say screaming, raving, perhaps. But those interferences don't happen anymore.
Oh.
We're trying to involve the public. There's usually two chances for members of the public to speak and let their views be known to the board. And sometimes we even go into an open session where the board and the audience.
Democracy in action.
Exactly.
So how do you get in on
the hall?
How do you get in on it?
Well, you show up tomorrow at 6:30 or 7, I'm not sure which, at 583 Riverside Drive. It's called the Dorothy Day Houses. And that's at, take the number 1 train to 137th Street. It's 583 Riverside Drive. And tomorrow we will be passing, not passing, amending the budget that we talked about earlier that, you know, is going to result in huge...
The doomsday budget.
Yeah.
BAI's doomsday budget.
I could be voting for my own layoff, for all I know, as a board member.
Well, that prospect terrifies me because I would be lost without Max, I can tell you that. So everybody should call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge to keep this place alive and to become a member of WBAI so that you can actually have a voice and be a part of this democratic process and get the vote as to who's going to be on the board. Now, do we still send out the folio, Max? Or
no.
That's a thing of the past, isn't it?
The folio has turned sort of into the WBAI website.
Oh, okay.
There's always talk of bringing back the folio or at least printing up a little something to send out, a quarterly schedule perhaps. Not that it ever changes, but, you know, just something that you can tack to the refrigerator and remember that you're a member of WBAI.
Anyway, it's a minimum pledge of $25, which will make you a member of WBAI.
And just as the board is trying to get fiscally responsible, you also, listeners, need to be fiscally responsible for what you're listening to.
Yes.
And that is a minimum of $25 pledge. Become a member. Don't think that your one pledge of $25 is not important, because every member is important and will help us grow, or, you know, without your calls we stagnate or wither away.
And, you know, we understand that we're, you know, we're teetering on the brink of, you know, very, very severe economic crisis right now, if we aren't already, like, well over the brink and plunging down into one. But, you know, the government isn't going to come along and bail out Pacifica the way it bailed out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Merrill Lynch, right? And, you know, we haven't got any kind of governmental safety net here. We really do depend on our listeners to keep us alive. So even if you can't afford $65 for the conspiracy theory crackpottery 13-hour MP3 produced by Max Schmid, or if that just isn't your thing, please do at least call 212-209-2950 and pledge $25 to become a member of WBAI if you aren't already one, okay? You at least, you know, you owe it to yourself to do that, particularly if you have strong opinions about what happens at this radio station and what you hear over the air and about the leadership here. You know, you'll get to vote and decide who's going to sit on the station board once you become a member, but not before. So if you're not a member, we really appeal to you to become a member. We really need your $25, and we really need your voice. So please do, if you're not a member, call and become a member. Just pledge $25 to become a member. We accept credit cards. We accept checks.
We encourage credit cards because, you know, that back rent we were talking about? Well, if you pledge on a credit card, we're that much closer. We're only a day away from paying off some of our back bills instead of waiting for you to get your reminder and
but
looking for a stamp.
If you're a dinosaur who doesn't actually have a credit card, we'll still take your pledge, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, if you've got plastic, use it.
Yes.
And do what I do. Now, here's something to consider. I was approached by someone with a clipboard on the sidewalk a couple of years ago from an outfit known as Greenpeace. And, you know, I sort of am in empathy and in tune with them, and, you know, I figured I don't do much in charitable stuff except give away my life at WBAI. So they signed me up, and I said, sure, $15 a month, put it on my card. And, you know, it's the biggest donation of the year that I make. But, you know, at $15 a month, you don't feel it. Now, we could set up the same thing for you here. Say you want to give WBAI $10 a month or $15 a month, whatever is comfortable for you, whatever you feel, you know, getting yelled at by Mr. Weinberg is worth. If you've ever called in, consider it a badge of honor to be hung up on by Bill Weinberg. And pledge for that privilege.
All right, so
212-209-2950.
Pledge of $25 will make you a member. If you want something for your money, but you don't want the conspiracy theory crack pottery thing.
Purple T-shirt.
Right, you can get a purple T-shirt, the wonderful purple T-shirt designed by Sidney Smith, which is with a purple heart. And it says WB.
No. Here, right here.
No, it's a golden heart.
It's a golden heart
on
a purple shirt.
T-shirt. Right, sorry. Right, not a purple heart. That's a badge you get for being wounded in war. But
it might be appropriate. Maybe the next one we should make a purple heart shirt.
Well, it's a purple shirt with a heart. So, and it says WBAI Radio with Heart, founded by pacifist, which, of course, this station and this network were way back in the the network in the 1940s and the station in the 1960s. So that can be yours for a pledge of $30, just $30, just $5 more than the minimum $25 pledge to become a member. You become a member, plus you get the lovely WBAI T-shirt, a purple shirt with a flaming winged Golden Heart.
By the way, it's 1 a.m. and you're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the World Wide Web, streaming and archived right there.
Or for $65, you can get the WBAI baseball cap or the WBAI cup. That's it. $65 for the baseball cap or the cup, or $30 for the T-shirt. And then we've also got another special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade premium, which we're offering. If you aren't interested in the 13 hours of conspiracy theory crackpottery on an MP3, we're also offering once again the book Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman, which is it's not really a graphic novel, but it's a compilation of graphic works produced by Seth, dealing with precisely those themes of disaster and resistance. He's got stuff there about oil wars going on all over the planet, from the Niger Delta of Nigeria to Iraq and Fallujah, as well as Hurricane Katrina and New Orleans. So we're offering this Disaster and Resistance softcover book by Seth Tobachman with his original art and really, really very, very powerful stuff for $50. For a pledge of $50, you can get Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman or the special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade package for For a pledge of $100, you can get both. Just for $100, you can get both the 13-hour conspiracy theory crackpottery MP3 by Max Schmid, as well as the book Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman for a pledge of $100. Seth Tobachman, longtime activist, artist.
Frequent guest on this program.
And the Lower East Side denizen and the founding editor of World War III Illustrated Magazine. So there you go. This is what we really urge people to do, because if just, you know, a couple of people call in and do that, then we could well be up to making a respectable amount of money very, very quickly. So we're really appealing to people to, for a pledge of $100, you can get both the Conspiracy Theory Crackpottery MP3, as well as the book Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman for a pledge of just $100. Get them both, the special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade package.
When your ears get tired, you can read this for a while. When your eyes get tired, you can go back to the MP3 disc.
Exactly. So just give a call to 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. One more time, that's 212-209-2950. And, oh, by the way, the number is 212-209-2950. Write it down, 212-209-2950. And give a call and pledge $100 and get both of our special premiums, which we're offering tonight, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade package, the Conspiracy Theory Crackpottery MP3, and the book Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tobachman, yours for a pledge of $100 at 212-209-2950. Yeah, keep those calls coming. That's music to our ears, 212-209-2950.
If nothing else, just a $25 pledge.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Just say that you're there. Let us know that you're listening and support
and care about
what
this
you're
place
hearing
enough to, like, you know, give us what you mean, you know, $25, that's like two movies these days. Get popcorn at the movies, it's not even two movies, right? So just show us that you care about BAI that much. Even if you don't want our premiums, you know, at least just become a member of this place and, like, get on board for the struggle. 212.
And for $5 more, we'll throw you a beautiful T-shirt.
Exactly. $30. 212-209-2950. Okay. It's 5 minutes after one.
Yeah, we should hear a taste.
So let's give him some Paul is Deadery.
Okay.
And then give him some ufology.
How to do that, or do I need to come around there?
We might want to play it safe by.
Okay. I'll be right there. Computer technology. It's like it makes me a guru. And that's why they pay me the big bucks, because I can push the right buttons.
Guru Max. 212-209-2950 is the number to call and pledge some money for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade to keep WBAI on the air and to keep this show on the air and to keep a voice of dissent alive. Because, you know, boy, wouldn't it really be like the worst of all possible worlds if, you know, McCain Palin were elected and, you know, say McCain dropped dead and we got President Palin early in the administration, which is a very good possibility. And BAI, you know, like went the way of Bear Stearns and wasn't around to be a voice of dissent and to fight back. That's a really depressing scenario, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's not a completely implausible one. So please make sure that that doesn't happen. Call 212-209-2950 and pledge what you can. If you can pledge $100 and get the package, get the Conspiracy Theory Crack Pottery MP3 and the book Disaster and Resistance by Seth DeBachman, great. Or just the MP3 for $65, or just the book for $50, or just become a member for $25, or become a member and get the t-shirt for $30, whatever level you feel that you can support us at. Or if you can't even, you know, become a member for $25, pledge $10. Pledge whatever you can. But just pledge something to let us know that you care about WBAI and its survival in what could be very, very desperate times in the immediate future. Already pretty desperate times, but could be much more desperate real, real soon, depending on what's going to happen in this election and which way the economy goes. And, I mean, you know, if McCain gets in and starts bombing Iran, things could start looking real apocalyptic really fast. Let's put it that way. And if BAI isn't around, you're really going to miss it. So, you know, I hate to appeal to people's fears to get them to call, but, you know, unfortunately, these are legitimate fears. 212-209-2950. Okay, so should we whet their appetites, Max? Are we ready with some crack pottery? Let's give them some crack pottery.
Well, this is a little bit of the opening of the KGB San Diego Paul is Dead production, which is an hour long. You're only going to hear a couple of minutes.
This is the story of the resurrection of Paul McCartney. The substance of the story began 3 years ago and was kept private for the Beatles alone. In the past few months, the words of death started.
Is Paul McCartney dead? Tomorrow. But he was buried 3 years ago. Services ring a finish.
Listen as KGB takes you on a magical mystery tour.
Just started about 3 years ago in Liverpool.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
Died in the church and was buried along with her name.
Penny Lane, there is a bar showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know. Let me take you down, cause I'm going to the strawberry field. All he needs is love, love.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, I get high. news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad.
All right, we're hoping we're going to, like, cut to the crack pottery chase here because, you know, we've sort of, like, heard all these songs a million times before and the sound quality ain't too good. And can we fast forward here a little bit?
We're going to the Alex Bennett. Beatles organization, this is just a call-in show.
He's alive and well there. And unconcerned about the rumors of his death. He's said to be on a car trip somewhere in England with his wife, two children, and a dog. Now that WMCA's Alex Bennett is going to England as our own Sherlock Holmes, we should learn for sure the truth or falsehood of the McCartney rumors. In hockey, the New York Rangers played a 1-1 tie with the Chicago Blackhawks. Another hockey tie, Montreal and St. Louis, 3-3.
What is this, 1966?
69 or 70.
Oh, that late.
Los Angeles 2, Pittsburgh nothing. The weather, clear, windy, cold. Low, the mid-30s, partly sunny, windy, and cold later. Right now, the wind's northwest at 12 miles an hour. The gusts are to 27, the humidity 57%, the New York temperature 35 degrees. This is Dave Leeds, now again Alex Bennett on the power line.
I suddenly realized I'm scared a little bit, Dave, because I have never been to Europe.
Well, you'll have no difficulty in England. They speak our language, you know.
I understand, yes.
It could get a little...
The story is so hot, they're sending him to England to investigate, you see, where he's going to meet Mick Jagger and get some truth.
See, that could take me about 3 or 4 weeks. I could, that might be a
good
idea.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 weeks to learn how to use the underground in London.
Right, right. But, I've never been there, and I say it's a beautiful place, so it should be interesting.
Do you have some particular techniques that if you do get to see him, finally, you've made the appointment and you've tracked him down, and here he is. Now, how do you know this is the real one?
I'm going to be very point blank about it and ask him for a set of his fingerprints, basically. So we can just bring him back and prove that part of it. But basically, I'd like to just wind up doing an interview with him like we do on our Saturday night shows. Because the whole thing is so interesting, I think the American public would like to hear from Paul McCartney. And anyway, there are a lot of other people over there that we're going to be contacting, too. But PL9-1000 is our number, and we continue, okay? Good morning. Hello.
Oh, good morning.
Yes.
In last week's Newsweek... Mm-hmm. October 20th,
mm-hmm.
there's an article involving the Beatles' finances.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get over there, it might be an interesting idea to look up an organization called Triumph Investment Trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's the company that's acted as the clearinghouse for the Beatles' earnings.
Mm-hmm.
25% commission.
Yeah.
The service. Also, the article was written by a reporter, Marvin Cooper, the Newsweek reporter in London.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kupfer. Now, that might be of interest to you.
All right. Very good. I thank you for your help. I really appreciate it.
The article is in the 20th edition of Newsweek magazine. There's also a picture of the poor boys, but I don't know when it was taken. It doesn't say.
Okay.
Yes, if you look that thing up.
I understand that the thing that was on television tonight was a statement issued by Apple, and the picture in the background were some pictures taken about 3 or 4 years ago of the Beatles. That should add to the mystery.
Well, yes. Right, will you check into the article and then you can go further on it on your own?
Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hope you get to London first. They've been fogged in, and the planes have been going to Europe. So you may get there backwards. Well, enjoy it anyhow. Happy landing.
Right.
Okay, good night.
Today's Tuesday. It must be Belgium. PL9-1000 is our number. Good morning. WMCA, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I've been doing some research on this business about cow, with the guitar supposed to spell cow on Sergeant Pepper.
Yes.
And I found out that cow is located on the Isle of Wight. There's a town called Cow on the Isle of Wight.
That's C-O-W-E-S.
Yeah. But it's kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I made another connection, which could be kind of far-fetched, but on the White on White album where there are all those pictures of the Doors.
Yeah.
On Sergeant Pepper, they refer to fixing a door, fixing a hole in a door several times in the song Fixing a Hole. And then on Glass Onion, they make reference to fixing a hole in the ocean. So if you're going along the Messiah line, that possibly he's on this island or something, that kind of fits in.
Yeah, filling the cracks that ran through the door. It's interesting.
Yeah, and then fixing a hole in the ocean, because they use the same phrase as the title of the song.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
PL9-1000 is our number. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Alex, can I cut in just before you start this one?
Yes.
Because I know that your listeners would like to know that that report we had about Jackie Kennedy on NASA's being involved in an accident, it turned out to be unfounded. Police department has just reported that it's just two men in a car at that particular location, and how they got Jackie Kennedy Onassis's name on the police wire, we don't know. We'll have to check that out.
Okay.
But that's it. They've apologized for it now.
Two guys in a car that look very much like Jackie Onassis. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Yes.
I've been following your discussion avidly for three nights, not seeing any album covers or hearing the records, and I think I know every clue by heart. As a matter of fact, I think I'm the only person I know in my neighborhood that knows anything, so I have no one to talk about it with.
Yeah.
But just, you say, give it a fresh approach. One thing that struck me, if the thing was supposed to be a secret, why would they give clues to reveal it? If they didn't want anyone to know that he died, then why would they want him, you know, but give these clues?
You know, in a way, this thing has gone beyond that. The average person, when I ask them, do you think that Paul McCartney is dead, they say no. But then when I say, oh, well, then that ends it, they say no. Because people honestly feel that the Beatles are trying to say something, or trying to give us a clue, or this is a game, a contest.
Yes.
Figure something out, and everybody's trying to figure out what that contest is.
Well, you see, you use the word contest. A lot of people use the word hoax, use the word put on, but there is one word that nobody used, and that's fraud. And I don't think that we will ever find a real conclusion. I think that the part about the island and the utopia is something for them to fall back on and point to as clues. If this thing is ever revealed as a fraud in order to sell records. And this girl that called up that spoke to the lawyer, I can't remember what she said. I remember when she said it, the way that he answered her was the type of answer that if and when it's ever discovered that the whole thing was a fraud, they've got to cover, some kind of a legal cover for the thing. And what do you think of that?
Well, I think that if the Beatles don't come out with some kind of sufficient answer... See, there are a couple of points that I am upset about. On one account, I would be completely thrilled with the Beatles, and on the other hand, I would be completely miffed at them. Now, I would be completely thrilled with them if they came out and said, yes, we have been playing a game, or no, we have not been playing a game, or hey, gang, I'm Paul McCartney, here are my fingerprints, here I am, don't bark up any wrong trees. The thing that would make me mad is if, and it seems obvious now, they are making Paul McCartney totally unavailable, not saying he isn't alive, but still having somebody else say it, which only has a tendency...
It's NPT, no Paul theory.
Now, you know, you have to realize that this program had been on the air for, you know, an hour or more when I happened across it, and I just grabbed the tape and taped it until I ran out of tape. So there's like 80 minutes of this. It's just like a slice out of radio history, Beatles history, call it what you will. I'm sure this is
both of those things.
Probably the only recording that exists of this, and it just was, you know, dumb luck that I happened to tape. The other thing, you know, was actually downloaded from the internet.
You taped that yourself?
Yeah. I heard it on the radio, and I threw a tape on.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's why we have that. The KGB thing that was, you know, yeah, there's a lot of music in it because, you know, the clues are few and far between, but it was an entire production that's an hour long. And it's hard to bring you, you know, concise highlights just by slapping the tape on. But you get the idea of what you'll hear. And these 2.5 hours are merely the Beatle portion of our $65 Conspiranoia Crackpot Premium.
All right, so let's thank the people who need to be thanked. Why don't you thank our people first?
And we'll thank you, too, if you call 212-209-2950 and join the ever-mounting tally. contributed in part by Tyrone of Brooklyn. Thank you so much. Getting a T-shirt. $30 pledge gets you a WBAI purple and gold T-shirt in the size of your choice. And Victor. Victor's getting the crackpot thingy. Victor's in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So our signal, while weak, is at least reaching New Jersey. And Eugene. Where's Eugene? In Brooklyn. Thank you, Eugene.
What's Eugene's last name?
Can I read it? It's Lerner.
Hmm.
And Jay, and we seem to have a little problem with his pledge, because the price and the premium don't match. Uh-oh. No, we're going to have to... Eugene! I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, Eugene. But you're not going to get the premium unless we up the bid a little bit here. Emily, and Emily Fernandez of New Rochelle, one of my old stomping grounds. Lived on Main Street for a couple of years in New Rochelle above the some dry cleaner or something.
Okay, and a big thanks also to Glenn Wynn CY of Brooklyn, to Eric Litton of Jersey City, to Eric Volpe of Hoboken. All right, Jersey's in the house tonight. Pete Leather of Neptune City, again New Jersey, and Louis Stein of New York, New York. And, okay, well, you know what the deal is. You have to join these people who stepped up to the plate do the right thing by calling 212-209-2950 and pledging $100 to get the Conspiracy Theory Crack Pottery MP3 and the book Disaster and Resistance by Seth Tabachman. Or was it $65 for the
Disc
for the MP3 disc?
Yes, yes. Why don't you reach over to the computer? Just double click on the Long John thing. Just we heard a little bit of the opening of a Long John radio show.
Is this Nebel?
Yeah, double click on that
with Major Donald Kehoe.
Kehoe,
our originator of the term flying saucer. Yes, this is a real piece of Americana. This is historically important. Okay, and it can be yours. All right, so I just click on this and pot it up?
Well, yeah, double-click until it appears.
Yeah.
Okay, then hit the play button there.
Oh, and then hit the play button.
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, neighbors. This is Long John once again with the party line. We're around from midnight to 5:30, 6, 1, and 3 in the week. During that time, we have the pleasure of talking with many interesting people. I'd like to take a moment to remind you that tonight at midnight, because we're already into Saturday... Just about 2 minutes ago, we got into Saturday morning, so actually Saturday night, or technically our Sunday morning show, we're going to be talking with Major Donald Kehoe. Major Kehoe is director of NICAP. He is also the author of a number of books on the subject of flying saucers, one in particular, Flying Saucers from Outer Space. I think that this will be a very interesting discussion. We have attempted for quite a period of time to have Major Kehoe join us. We were not successful until recently, and he will be with us at midnight tonight, Saturday night, technically our Sunday morning show. Now, according to Major Kehoe, in his book, Flying Saucers from Outer Space, he asks a number of questions and gives you answers, such as, do you know that flying saucers once buzzed the White House? Have you heard that flying saucers have been tracked by radar at speeds in excess of 7,000 miles an hour? Do you realize that the United States Air Force has motion pictures of flying saucers? Well, I could go on and on and on, but we'll have Major Kehoe with us. He'll give us the answers to these questions. And one particular question that I'm very interested in getting an answer to is what happened on the Armstrong Circle Theater? You possibly remember that telecast.
You know, my brain is suddenly engaged, and I realize I'm crediting Kehoe with something that Kenneth Arnold did. He was the pilot flying over at Mount Shasta or wherever he was where he saw the saucers. Kehoe wrote about it, and he was the head of Project Blue Book, as we just heard They're both featured in various portions of the Long John programs and the records, however. That's why I'm, you know, I haven't listened to this stuff in a while, and it all kind of runs together in my mind.
They're both on the premium.
And more, and several other guests, either live on these. I think there are two different three or four-hour complete shows that are part of this package, as well as two LPs that were put together from, you know, the greatest guests on the Long John show. And those are, you know, in fine, beautiful hi-fi sound, because I took them right off the LPs. So all of that, and I think, did I have room? I think we left on the show they were just referring to, the Armstrong Circle Theater with Kehoe, with Mike Wallace was the host of that. You even get the soundtrack for that show that apparently created some sort of controversy in the UFO world because they censored Donald Kehoe. They cut him off while he was trying to talk. Not because the dentures flew out of his mouth, but they cut him off while he was trying to talk.
All right. Well, I should say that the tally stands at 680, which is pretty damn respectable. So a big thanks to everybody who gave it up tonight. Let's give him a big hand, Max.
All right. And there's room for more. We've got, you know, we can make as many of these discs as we need. There's no limit. No siree, and it will peel potatoes better than you can imagine. If you don't like the sound on it.
So, you know, if one more person calls in and even just pledges the minimum of $25 to become a member, we'll be jacking it up over 700. Let's go out with a nice round figure. Let's get it up over 700.
But, you know, if you like mixed media, you can get the MP3 disc and Seth Bachman's wonderful book,
Disaster and Resistance,
for a $100 pledge. Now, that's a fraction of the price if you got these items individually. How much is the book by itself? 50?
No, I think the book by itself is probably like 25 or 30.
No, I mean as a premium.
Oh, as a premium.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Right.
I know you can go out and buy the damn 50, thing, but 50. You wouldn't want to do that. So you're getting a $50 premium plus a $65 premium at the bargain rate of only $100.
And we should make clear that the Conspiracy Theory Crack Pottery MP3 is not available commercially. It's only available by pledging to WBAI.
I mean, most of this is put together from, you know, my archives, my radio archives.
Something truly unique.
I mean, that Alex Bennett show is, you know, I have the only tape.
This is
it's not out on the, I haven't put it out on the internet, so you know.
This is culturally important. This is a piece of Americana. This is like, you know, a real artifact.
And the Oglesby and Robert Anton Wilson lecture,
which we didn't even get to, was
recorded for BAI premium use back, you know, 20 years ago for the Peter Lamborn Wilson Moorish Orthodox, the original Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade program. And what else is on there? Oh, the UFO stuff, of course. I mean, it's locked away in musty archives. And, you know, that was all home tape stuff. So, I mean, there's no place you can go and listen to that either unless you know radio collectors, which is, you know.
So somebody call
and
pledge anything from the $25 to become a member to the $65 to get the MP3 or the $50 to get the book, or the $100 to get both. Somebody just call and just pledge whatever you can, whatever you feel inspired to pledge, just to jack it up over $700.
And by the way, if you're waiting for weaponry to come on, well, Tom is back there helping us out with the telephone. So if you want to talk to Tom before he goes on the air and annoy him, 212-209-2950, and chances are that Tom Whisker himself will take your pledge. 212-209-2950. To support the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, Bill Weinberg, who ordinarily at this hour would be snapping acerbically at various phone callers.
But you know you love it. All you masochists out
there. You idiots. How can you be so stupid? How can you be so stupid as to not to call and pledge 212-209-2950? And keep what's left of this radio station limping, as to steal Tom Whisker's own words, limping resolutely towards the future. Join that caller on the line. There's one caller. We have three people back there.
How do you know there's a caller?
Because I see a red light over there.
But doesn't it ring when you hear a caller?
Yeah, only the first seven or eight ring. Oh, we got 15 lines, and only, you know, they're not all wired for sound. But, you know, if two more people call, we'll get around to the number one light again, and then we should hear a bell. 212-209-2950.
All right, somebody's calling, so presumably we're going to at least go out with $700, which makes us very, very happy indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody out there.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.